pray as we stand. Dear Lord, thank you that you are a God who we can lift up, exalt and praise this morning and bring honour to your name. And we want to do that. We offer you this time and may it be a blessing to each one here. And we offer it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please take a seat and can I welcome you along today. If you haven't been with us, we're looking at Colossians. And if you didn't know, 3:16. Does anyone know 3:16? This great Bible verse is 3:16. And I'm not talking about the one in 2 Thessalonians, which says, "The Lord be with you." That's a great Anglican one, and it's good to have a few Anglicans with us. That's right. I'm not talking about, what's the other 3:16? There's one in in Timothy as well, about every breath, every word of God is God-breathed. In Colossians 3:16, it tells us to dwell on the things of God and to let the word of God dwell in us richly. But another 3:16, which you probably all know, is you should do a study of 3:16 in the scriptures sometime, is John 3:16. Yeah? And I think it's Greg's favourite. You see it written on his shirts every now and then, or around the collar of something, or it seems right on his clothes, John 3:16. I see it every now and then. But we have come together to celebrate today and to devote Fifi. And Fifi, it's exciting that you're here. Look, there's an envelope up here for you too later on, Fifi. We're going to do something pretty special. But I want to say welcome to everyone who's here. And also, you know, there's some Canberrians here. They're pretty excited after last night, aren't they? Woo! Yeah, good to have the Canberrians here, and it's great to all be here together to join together on this day. Now, on our what I'll do is I'm going to invite in a moment the Hay family up, and we're going to do three things in our service and this dedication time. Basically, we're going to praise God. Praise God for Fifi. We're going to praise God for the gift of children and for the privilege of parenting. It's a privilege, isn't it, parents? Go like this, yes. Privilege of parenting, but also it involves a community. So there's a challenge of discipleship as a community and of raising young ones in the Lord. So that's kind of been the three things that we'll talk about today. Praising God, there's going to be a promise from our parents and a promise from us as a congregation as well, and we're also then going to pray over Fifi and the family. So that's kind of three things, the three P's of our dedication: praise, promise and prayer. But to start with, we're going to just have three little items of sharing. And firstly, I'm going to share of my sister Fifi, because I started calling her sister, and I then explained to her it was because we're in God's family, right? And so if you're in God's family, I'm in God's family, it makes us brother and sister. So I have these cute memories of Fifi welcoming me saying, "Brother!" And one day I wasn't at the bus stop where she gets off. And she got off the bus. Was it asking you, Alison? And she was asking Alison, "Where's brother? Where's brother?" Good on you, Fifi. So my sister Fifi, who I get to... a great welcome, and it seems like your other sister has taken on calling me brother as well. She welcomed me as brother. I love it. This is good. Brookie welcomed me as brother this morning. But I want to invite the Hay family up. They just want to share a couple of things before we start our dedication time. So, Alison, Greg, do you want to come forward? And Eliza's going to do something for us after this as well. So she's going to do something special for us in a moment, Eliza.
Well, as most of you know, this has been a long journey for us. For those of you that don't know, we brought Fifi home from hospital when she was 6 days old.
Wow.
She was 4 pounds and she was a very sick little baby. And from the moment I held her in the hospital, when they asked me to take her in my arms, I knew that she was meant to be ours. Her birth name is Phoenix Rose, and at the time, for a number of reasons, we chose to call her Fifi, to shorten her name to Fifi. And it was a number of years later that Peter said to me, have you ever looked up in the, like, Googled what Fifi means in the French? And I had never done that. We just called her Fifi because it seemed short for Phoenix. And the name Fifi in the French actually means God added.
Okay.
So we knew, because God gave me the name Fifi from her, for her when we bought a home. So we know that God added to her to her family, that Rhonda, her mother, birthed her for us. So we feel very privileged to have her as part of our family, and we know God wanted her to be part of our family as well. Mm. The journey has been a difficult one. Fifi has, as you, a lot of you know, has a lot of issues that she has to deal with because of the problems that she had when she was in her mummy's tummy. And I've had a lot of support and help along the way, and I just really want to thank my church family who have always just embraced Fifi and all her specialness, in inverted commas, and have never judged her or looked down on her because of the way she is, and we just find that really beautiful. And I really want to thank a special friend who's here this morning who's going to pray for Fifi later. Shelley has been with me since the day I brought Fifi home, and Shelley is also a foster carer, and she has been a great support through all the difficult times that we've had, through court situations and problems with birth families that a lot of people don't realise we have to deal with, the constant criticism from birth families and pressure from the government when we take these children on. People just don't realise the pressure that they put on us as well. But we know that God wants us to do this, and we continue. And there's a number of families here today who foster. We've got Dallas, and I just want to acknowledge our other people that foster, Dallas, who is actually Brookie's aunt, and Peter and Wayne and Donna and Shelley. Just acknowledge other people who've taken on this as well. But we're just really privileged. Fifi is finally ours by legally. We know that she's been ours physically and spiritually since birth, but legally we have adopted her. It's all gone through, and that's why today we're going to dedicate her as our daughter.
Mm. Yeah.
I won't add much to what my good wife said, except that I want to thank you as a larger church body, because there are many times, I'm sure, when the person out the front has asked for a volunteer and a little blonde head, bouncy head of hair has put their hand up, and the leader's sort of questioned what's going to happen next. But thank you for including her and involving her and loving her, because right from, you know, grandpa and grandma down to the, you know, Samuel and the others, and in the middle, you as a church, you have shown her God's love, and that's a terrific thing, because on our own we do certain things well and other things we don't do well, but in the larger scheme of things, you've shown her God's love in this church. So we thank you for that, and we urge you to keep on going. And Jesus said, you know, let the children come to me, and you know, we're going to keep doing that. And it might be a bit messy sometimes, it might be a bit loud, but that's how we get kids involved, that's how they hear about the love of God, and that's how the kingdom grows. So thank you for playing your part in that process. God bless you.
Yes, good. Yes, thank you, Greg. Okay, Fifi has a special song for you, and Eliza, sister Eliza, is going to sing it for you. Yeah. Has she not told you what it is, Fifi? Oh, this is exciting. You don't know which one she's going to sing it. Song dedicated to you. Thank you. Now, I'll invite the Hay family up here again, because we're going to ask them a couple of questions and confirm their dedication to what they're doing. So, come on forward, yeah. And I want us to all stand with them, firstly, because we're dedicating Fifi to the Lord and the Lord Jesus, and we've been looking through Colossians. I want us to say together what we believe about Jesus. So just on our next screen, you'll see as the words there from Colossians 1, and we can say this together as we start. What do we believe about Jesus? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Excellent. We stand together in this, but please take a seat. But I'll ask Greg and Allison particularly, firstly, acknowledge that God is the creator and the maker of all things and giver and sustainer of all life, and this child, Fifi, is a gift from him. Excellent. Well, as a gathering as well and as a group of people, I want to ask us, do we acknowledge that as well and return thanks to God and praise to him? Yeah, maybe we'll put our hands in the air even and we'll say, we give thanks to you, O Lord. Yay, excellent. Well, we do praise him for that. See, they all praise him for that. Excellent. Well, that's the first part, praising God for it. Now, here is the heart of what dedication is about. It's about promise. And we are making a promise together as a church community as well. And our promise is to pray for this family and for their parents and to support them. We will influence Fifi on what she understands of church. So we need to be a good example, don't we, of a functioning church family and how to do that well and how to do that in love. And Colossians 3 has a lot to say, a lot about that today, about our love and how we love each other. So I'm going to ask us, is that what we're willing to do, church? Are we willing to do that? We will. Excellent. Good, strong, we will. Now, parents, they commit themselves as the Holy Spirit empowers them to constantly surround Fifi in love and compassion and care and to maintain their own personal spiritual life and a model of faith to Fifi. So that's what they're committing to. And lastly, they're committing to praying for praying for wisdom and strength from our Heavenly Father. So is that what you are willing to do?
Yes, we are.
They are willing. You heard it. They promise also, with God's help, to give every opportunity, not just physically, not just emotionally, not just socially, but also and particularly spiritually, for the growth of Fifi, to learn to love the love of Jesus and her need to trust him. So is that what you're promising as well? Excellent. Good. We're going to pray for them. I've invited Wayne to pray for us as a church family. I'll invite Shelley to come forward as well. And then I'm going to pray over Fifi to finish off our time. And then we're all going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So Wayne, you need to come forward. You need this so we can hear your prayer and pray along with you. And then you can pass this to Shelley. And then I'll pray over young Fifi. Deuteronomy 6. Heavenly Father, and Lord Jesus, help us to be your spirit community in this task of raising Fifi.
supposed to be your encouragers, your support network for her and for Greg and Alison. Help us to be your body in action. Help us to fulfill your promise and to model our faith to Fifi.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you just as you have adopted Greg and Alison into your family, that you've allowed Fifi to be adopted into that family. And Father, we know that has many privileges and responsibilities. We thank you that you've taken Fifi from darkness into light, from peril to safety, hopelessness to hope. We pray, Lord, that we will share this journey with a common destination, and we'll take up the challenge of discipleship.
Yes.
Lord, I pray this would be a safe community for her to grow, where she prosper in the spirit, in a place where she can live and contribute her many gifts to this community. And Lord, thank you for the Hayes who, in a time of crisis, will put their hand up and say, choose me, Lord. And I'm very grateful for the Hayes who I've known for many years. Lord, I know that Fifi is in a great place because of what you've done in their lives. And Lord, so grateful to be part of this community. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to acknowledge the Hay family before I ugly cry. I want to acknowledge that when a family brings a child into their life from another family, it's often a family affair, and we've certainly seen this with the Hay family. And I really want to acknowledge you kids, because I know that you've been amazing, and it's not always been an easy journey. You know, sometimes the kids have to deal with the decisions that mum and dads make, and these kids have been there in the journey and have supported mum and dad as best that they can. The journey hasn't always been smooth sailing, and it's not always been easy, and I thank you. So kind. I acknowledge that, and I understand that. So it's a family affair, you know, and often the kids don't get that acknowledgement, and often they miss out too, you know, because there's a lot of needs when we bring some of our special little children into our care, and it takes up a lot of mum and dad's time. So you guys are amazing, and you guys are also being God's gift to this family. So mum and dad couldn't have done it without you guys by their side. So I just want to pray for you, Fee. I want to commit you to Jesus. And I want to ask Jesus to support you in all your gifts that he's given you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this precious life that before Fee was born, you knew her, Lord. That you formed her in her mother's womb, and that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that we all come into this world with our not-so-perfect bodies, our not-so-perfect minds, and we commit all of ourselves to you, Lord, because we're all in a position of falling short of your glory. But we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he has come before us, and in our eyes, you see, in your eyes, Lord, you see Jesus. And I want to acknowledge and thank you, Lord, for all the strength that you've placed in Fee, the delight that she brings to people, Lord, the little bright shining star that she is when she walks into a room and bounds into a room and pronounces something very special that's happened to her. It's often brings a smile on people's faces, Lord. And she has many strengths, Lord, to fulfill in her life. And we ask, Lord, that right now you be preparing that pathway for her, that you're paving that way for her in this big world, Lord Jesus, that people would come across her paths who can help to guide and lead her, who that she can touch and that she can bless that no one else can bless, Lord. Because, Lord, we are born for your blessing and your service, and we ask, Lord, that you would fully fulfill this in Fee's life, and we thank you for this precious child that you knew before she was born, before she was even in Rhonda's tummy. Thank you, Jesus. And I lift the Hay family to you to continue to lead and guide Fee in the way that you would direct them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for their service to you and their love and commitment to their children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, I pray too and thank you for this family. As Shelley's mentioned, we praise you and thank you for the children of this family too who have welcomed Fifi in and who have given up certain things. Lord God, thank you that you have brought her into this family and allowed her to be part of it. And Father God, I pray over her now. Lord God, may you bless her. May your peace be upon her, and may you grant her your presence. And this we ask and pray in your name. Amen. The Lord bless you, Miss Fifi. Woo! Okay. Fifi, does this look like this is for you? It says your name on it. Look what we got in here. We've got a certificate to remind you. Look, you better have a photo with brother. Yay! That's for you. Yep. And, of course, we've got some another thing here. This is DVD Colin, okay? Of course, my favourite. Yeah, had to give you a Colin. So you can take that and put it in there.
Colossians 3:5-17. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Well, friends, there's our series. I've enjoyed the Colossians series. I haven't preached through Colossians before. You may tell. And this is our eighth talk. There is three more to go that we're going to focus in on Colossians. I hope you've enjoyed it. The Complete Christian. Today we're looking at this particularly, a call to put your clothes on. It's glad to see. Looks like you all did that well this morning. Keep it that way. Now, kids, often with kids, we're telling them their little daily routine. You can say, you know, you get up, have your breakfast, get dressed, teeth, face, hair. Yeah? You teach them these little things, and it always seems to be the hardest to get your clothes on, isn't it? Get dressed. That's the tough one. I remember a time when one of my children was running around in the backyard with underpants on, just their underpants on, found the box of pegs and decided to decorate their undies with pegs all around the top and all around there. Yeah, good look. Always hard to put your clothes on. And often as a parent, you're saying that to little people. And the challenge today is maturity in what you wear. Maturity and what you wear. We're going to focus in on verse 5 to verse 17. Tell you a little story. It's spring, as you know, and there was a lady who was going through her clothes. Her husband said to her, "What's in the bag?" She said, "Oh, I'm just sorting through my clothes, and there's some of my clothes that I'm not using anymore." And he said, oh, why don't you just chuck them in the bin? And she says, no, I want to take them to Lifeline, you know, for the homeless people and for all the starving people, so they can wear them. Without thinking, he said, dear, if they can wear those clothes, they're not going to be starving. That's the end of the story, and that was the end of the husband as well. And I tell you that story. I deleted that email when they sent that to me. I deleted that one, but I got it back out of the recycle bin. And I tell you it because of two things. Good, you know, there's certain jokes and certain language that needs to die. And I wanted to point that out to you today. There's certain... thank you for laughing too, my wife. There is certain clothes that you need to get rid of and not kind of recycle or, you know, reuse. And today is a call to put your Colossian clothes on. Now, this is my kind of memory hook for you today. If, you know, in 2 days' time, you can't remember what you did at church, you can't remember what you ate, or, you know, remember Colossians clothes. Yeah? Say it with me. Colossians clothes. 1, 2, 3. Colossians clothes. Good. Colossians clothes. Remember Colossians clothes. You got it. That'll be your memory hook for the week. Now, on our next slide, we'll just kind of show you a little bit of the structure of it. We started off in Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, which says, because you all remembered, haven't you? Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. Receiving Christ Jesus as Lord is an important bit. Okay, you made him Lord of your life. Continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him. That's the tree illustration. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Yes? Lock it in. You've got it. That's what we started our series off and focusing in on that. The next bit after that, 2 verse 8 to 23, is a whole section which talks about false spirituality. Because there's this false teaching going around and there's this false kind of superman, superwoman people saying we're super spiritual and you need these signs or you need to do this, you need to do that. When Paul reminds them is you need to remember to be in Christ. And he reminds that that's the simple message. So there's the warning there. Now the first four verses of chapter 3 is then like a hinge. And I like hinges. I'm a carpenter. Background, and it hinges on this, which he wants them to know, set their mind and set their heart on things above. This was the Dad's Day sermon we did. This is the hinge that holds this bit together. And the hinge is for them to remember that your sin is buried with Christ. You died with Christ. It's buried. And you'll be raised to life with Christ. It's a great gospel message that they're to set their mind and their heart upon. The next part then, what we're looking at today, 3, all the way through to the first verse in chapter 4, so here's the hinge, okay, here's the other bit, yeah, is about, it's not about false spirituality, this is about true spirituality. And you want to know about true spirituality? Well, we're going to spend 2 weeks in this section. And I'll split it into two. We finished this section today on verse 17, 3:17, which says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Verse 3:17. That's for your memory as well this week. But first verse, which we look at today, which we have in here, so we follow straight on. It says, put to death. It sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? Put to death. Well, he said this before because in verse 3, chapter 3, if you just jump up to there, it says, for you died. That's what he's reminded them, you died. And he's reminded them earlier of this in chapter 2, jump up to verse 20, and he says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to them? Do you submit to the rules? He's saying that's dead, that stuff. That's the old way of life. I had a conversation with someone this week who told me a story of when they sat on the beach once. And it wasn't long after they became a Christian. And God kind of flashed before them all the sins of their past. Or maybe the devil brought this to their mind. And the great thing that God reminded this person at the time was that those things, they're gone. That's the old life. You know, that's buried deep down in the sea. Even better than buried in the sea, because no one can fish it up. Okay? Jesus has died for those things. He's paid for them. And they're dead and buried, gone. A great thing to remind yourself of. It's a good gospel message. And not only is your life hidden with Christ, as it says in verse 3, you'll be raised with Christ, what we have a future to look forward to, yeah? That is the great message. And it's right here before us. Then it goes on to say then, very directly, this is application, this is action, if this is what's happened for you. Verse 5, and it gets very kind of direct in what he instructs them to do here. And the rest of the letter is kind of very direct in what he calls them in their life. If you're a true Christian and you want to show true spirituality, then this is how you'll go on to live. Whatever you do, whatever. Yeah? Well, let's give men. Colossians clothes, or putting off certain clothes. Men, get rid of clothes. You know, as a man, I find it hard to get rid of clothes. I don't know if that's other men. Is that with you? Sometimes my clothes go from the garage to the garage clothes, and then I think, oh, they're not bad enough to go to the garage. They get back into my drawer. I don't know if you have this problem. My wife tried to help me out. She hides things from me, or different things that should be that she thinks should be out of my wardrobe. Sometimes finds places in other places. But I find it hard to get rid of clothes. I don't know if other men, you have that problem. Sometimes I've heard of a wife who has helped a husband along in a pair of pants that she wasn't that fond of. And a pair of those pants magically only had one leg when he found them next time. I tell you what I would have done. I reckon if that was me, that wasn't my wife, I reckon if that was me, I would have cut the other leg off and then sewn it up and had a pair of shorts. Yeah. It's hard to throw out clothes because they feel comfortable and they're cheap. And I have another friend who can tell me, I see him in these great retro clothes and different clothes he wears at different times. And it's like memories for him. He says, yeah. He said to me the other day, he says, yeah, this is Bali, 97 or something like that. His shirt was from there. I thought, good on you. But there's a call to put off clothes and certain clothes. And the clothes are the carnal clothes, the worldly clothes, the fleshly clothes is called to put off. Verse 5, did you notice there? He says, put to death is what he calls. So that's throw it away in the rubbish. Not the recycle, okay? It doesn't come back, not the recycling. Verse 8, he says, what does he say in verse 8? He says, rid yourself of all such things. You know, someone walked into the bowling club the other day and someone else said to them, get rid of that. Get rid of that jersey. You know, get rid of those clothes. Maybe if it was a Sharkies supporter, someone would say that to them today. Get rid of that jersey. I wish it was a Manly jersey. Get rid of that jersey. Okay, verse 9, but we'll move on. He says in verse, what does he say in verse 9? He says, put off. Okay, take off. So this whole image of getting rid of this old clothes. In 2 Corinthians, it says, when you come to Jesus, the old has gone, the new has come. So you've got to leave the old behind. Get it off. Now, women, if you're feeling left out, I'll point to you now because you probably love new outfits, fine clothes, going shopping for new things. Well, there's a call here in Colossians, your Colossian clothes to put on. Verse 10, it says, put on the new self. Verse 12, what does it say? Holy and dearly loved. It says, clothe yourself with these things. And so to run with the metaphor, you know, put off clothes. And the focus is in here on kind of two areas, sexual sin, it seems to be, and speech sin, or sins of speech, which he calls them to put off. If you run with the metaphor, the clothes of sexual sin, and the close of speech sin. Verse 5, follow along with me. He says, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Choose to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. He says, that's the old life for you, Colossian. You used to walk in this. Now you're walking in Jesus. Walk in Him, continue in Him, rooted up in Him, built up in, strengthened in the faith. You used to walk in. Chapter 1, he tells them to walk in this new life. So now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, no or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he'll go on to say, clothe yourself. But let's just stick with this clothes to take off, or the clothes that we are to put off for the moment. He says there, what does he say? Immorality, that's sexual interactions outside the boundaries of God and the boundaries that he has placed in it. This is his design, his boundaries, and his standards, not our standards. His impurity, not having the purity of a husband and wife coming together. If it's taken outside of that, there's impure. There's lust there. Well, it might have passion in your Bible. Did you see what you had? Or it has lust there. But this is passion in the negative sense. And if you were to look into Romans, it'll talk about, in chapter 1, dishonorable passion. In Titus chapter 2, it'll talk about worldly passion. See, there's negative passion. Often we use passion as a positive word. But there's evil desire or passion gone bad here. And lastly, he says greed, that idea of covetedness. Literally, it's two words put together. More to have. To have more. Okay, that's greed, to have more, just wanting to have more. Two words basically smashed together. Have more and get what that which you or is not rightfully yours. And we can end up making sex and sexual interaction an idol. And it can be the one that dictates how you live. It can become the lord of your life. It can become the one that starts to rule and govern your life. The Greeks and the world in which this was written into, the ancient Greek world, well, sexual relations before marriage and in marriage and outside marriage was kind of an appetite to be gratified. There was not a call to be controlled in these things, in this area. It's kind of like a bull with a herd. Okay, it's take on your appetite. And I wonder how much is changed in our modern world. Much change? You know? I think birth control has probably exacerbated the problem. When you think of internet, it's probably exploded the problem. What's changed in our modern world? But what's the call for the Christian community, for the Christian life? It's a call of purity and chastity. It's a call for sexual relation between a husband and a wife. The two coming together in this precious act and to be treasured in this act. It's not indiscriminately to be used between people, because that just destroys the people. It destroys relationships. And what else does it destroy? It destroys the actual sacred and special union which it is in and of itself. And so there's a call here to put off. This is a daily thing for most men. I know I'm a man. This is a call to put off daily. This is a call to strangle and starve this sin, put to death this sin and this sin that can come into your life. Now, this is parts of your life and actions which are against God, and it's a call really to make them non-responsive. That's kind of a medical term, isn't it? But if you starve these sins, if you choke them out of your life, then you can become non-responsive to them. And I want to encourage particularly you today to listen, and particularly men, listen to what the Lord is putting upon your life today. What things is He calling you to? What work does the Spirit want to do in your life at this time? What thing is He calling you to put off because you're one of Christ's? If you are and you find guilt in your life right now, okay, allow the guilt to do its job. Take that to Christ and allow Him to put that sin in, make it hidden in Christ. Call out to Him again. Give it to Him. Sins of speech as we go on there. And there was anger, that is long-lasting, kind of smouldering. A person that is angry person. Okay, they have residual anger. Do you know one of those person? They seem to be angry all the time. Rage, that's outburst. That's the blaze of sudden anger. Or there is three kind of the real speech ones. There is malice, having a malign word against someone or a slander against someone or a filthy word. And then it's topped off with words of lying or mistruth in that list there. I don't have to tell you what lying is, and if you tell me you've never told a lie, you probably are doing it. It's break down relationship and break down community, so we're called to put these things off. Community breakers is sexual sin and lying in a community. You only have to see or hear stories of how sexual immorality, even when it happens in the church, how that breaks the community down. And the problems it causes within a community. When lies are told within a community and within a church community, that breaks down the community. But we're called to be builders and put on clothes. So there's sexual sin and speeches which break down, but that is contrasted to clothes to put on. And these are the clothes of the Spirit. These are the clothes of Christ. These are the Colossian clothes. Clothes, verse 10, tells us there in verse 10, put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator, where there is no Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. What is compassion? Well, Jesus shows us compassion, doesn't He? The compassion of Christ, which we see for those hungry people when they're like sheep without a shepherd. The compassion that I hear about people in our community here have for a homeless lady they found this week. Kindness, that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness. Random acts of kindness, like buying an orchid for someone, not because it's their birthday or for any reason, just because it's you want to be kind. A random act of kindness. Humility, what we find in Philippians 2, that is the attitude of Christ, that is putting others before your own interest and yourself. That's humility. Patience, that's another fruit of the Spirit listed here. Patience, a person that has the patience of a saint. You know those type of people? The patience of a saint. Well, in Colossians, we learned that we're saints and we're all saints. So there you go. Put on the patience. Gentleness. That is the fruit of the Spirit. We see that gentle, the way that Jesus, in that story in Matthew, gently with that lady. He's gentle with children. In 26. Forgiving, and I just want to focus on this one for a moment. You must have forgiveness in a church community. And you must have forgiveness in your life, because people will wrong you. That is a part of life. We are broken and we sin against each other. But we need to know, and we need to live out the gospel message of when people repent and when we see forgiveness of sins, there can be a reconciliation. We've got to live that out in our church community. He says there, and he's talking about them. What does he say? Bear with each other. You know, bear with each other. You get it wrong. People get it wrong. They'll hurt you. And he says, forgive. Whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We've got to hold on to forgiveness, not grudges. Hold on to forgiveness. And then maybe the Spirit is pointing out forgiveness that you need to take to someone in our church community here. Follow the leading of the Spirit. We prayed for that at the beginning. Love, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one, binds it all together. Love. These are the Colossian clothes, and I want to finish off with reminding you to put on the clothes. But I want to take you to a couple of books over, a letter over, just to finish on 1 Timothy, if you want to flick there. Otherwise, I'll read it to you. Because this is the kind of culture we want. This is the kind of characteristics we want to live for. This is a Colossian clothes we want to wear. Men, 1 Timothy 2. Verse 8, it says, I want men everywhere. Paul, in another letter, writes this, to lift up their hands in prayer. Men, it's not hands in anger or frustration, it's hands in prayer. Bringing your hands together in prayer. In another memory verse in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, physical training is of some value, but godliness holds value for all things. Men, can I encourage you? There's a list of 7 acts of godliness there. Pray that Jesus will point upon your heart one which you want to develop and work on. Women, you're feeling left out? Well, the very next verse says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Modesty and not expensive clothes. Clothes which are actually of character is what he's really talking about. Character clothes. Now it goes on, there's that famous bit in Timothy, and we'll touch on it next week, about verse 12, not teaching and having authority. And in our next section in Colossians, verse 18, it really starts off with that, about submitting to your husband. We'll get to that next week. We don't have time for it now. We'll park that next week. But I want you to finish on Jesus' words and thinking what Jesus says in Matthew 23. And what he says about clothes. Because he says to some people, you're wearing clothes and you're faking it. Don't just put fake clothes on. He says to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, you know, you wear your stuff, you wear this, you do these acts, but on the inside, there's no character change. Simply, there's nothing happening there. So I'm encouraging you to put on real clothes. This is real spirituality. This is Colossian clothes. What is it? Good, you've remembered it. Excellent. Only the Spirit can bring that in your life. Only the Spirit can bring the change which you need, and the change of those things, the clothes for us to put on. I'm going to pray that God clothes us and that we will wear those clothes before we sing to finish off. Dear Lord, we pray, we ask that you, Lord, will bring growth in areas where you want to see growth. We pray, Lord, that the things that you have identified by your Spirit in our life today, that we, Lord, will actually change in character. We'll wear that character. We'll grow in godliness. And, Lord God, we will mature in it. And we want to ask this in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit.